You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it will get done because you'll do it. You won't procrastinate. No, man, you won't put it off. No, you'll do it. And you'll do it safely. You'll do it well. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. And at the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that, and in a drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. But you also can go to the shortcut, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there will be programs that are dated and titled. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Once again, it's 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, as you know. But there's other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, Black Therapy Central, with Dr. Mawia Kamban, Ataki Kamban, and Kamal Kamban, who is in Africa. He usually listens to the program, but he is in Ghana with the family. So from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday, Black Therapy Central, with Dr. Mawia Kamban, Ataki Kamban, and of course Kamal, Baba Kamal. Conversation, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 p.m. to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, oh, today Friday? Oh, well, tonight at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. From 7 to 9 on Saturdays. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., it once again is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Omani Tahimba was going to be my guest today. Unfortunately, he had some other things that he had to do, and so we're rescheduling, and you'll hear from him maybe next week, hopefully. And because in my conversation with him, there's some things that I hope to bring to your attention. Brothers and sisters, I definitely promote AfricaForTheAfricans.org and the effort that Brother Mamani Tahimba has made to
bring our people to Africa and to invest in Africa, to repatriate, to go back home, to live, as well as visit. And brothers and sisters, go to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything you need is right there to help you make a trip of a lifetime. The upcoming, the first upcoming tour will be April 1st to April 11th, the 1st through the 11th, going to Senegal and Gambia. And then May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. And then November 17th to the 28th, going to Tanzania. All of them are $3,800 per person. You can put your money down, pay on it, or you don't have to drop a lot of bread, but you'll pay on it until you're ready to go. And once again, everything you need is on it. Information about shots, the pills, the yellow fever, all of those things, visas. Everything you need is right there. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com, forward slash Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Once again, brothers and sisters, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha stands for Helping Africans by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. Brothers and sisters, go to the website HabeshaIncorporated.org and you'll see the great work that they're doing and a lot of pictures of the work that they're doing in Ghana at the Kashi Project. Also here in the Atlanta area, Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. Brothers and sisters, check out HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE program. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. That's right. That's the spirit of Ujamaa.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
That is the spirit of Ujamaa. Group economics. And of course, the LEDGE deals in the four areas of human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. Those things that all human beings need, food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE group. And you can get land in Tanzania for $250 an acre. That's right. That might be the place that you want to go. That might be your last place, your landing point. The LEDGE group. Abibiatumi, ABIBITUMI.com, ABIBIATUMI.com. Baba Kambon, and looking at the website now, there's some things that they've done to upgrade. It looks great. Brothers and sisters, go to ABIBIATUMI.com. Make it one of the places that you go to constantly to shop, news, information, groups, courses, all kinds of good stuff. Brothers and sisters, ABIBIATUMI.com. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in the Atlanta area. That's on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. Right across the street from Soul Vegetarian, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Of course, the Shrine is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. They're open on Saturdays from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. and on Fridays and Saturdays. And their classes are online on Zoom. And, of course, the Shrine has everything you need. They have furniture, clothing, jewelry, books. Yes, books. The red, black, and green shoes. And that's got shoes. They have it all at the Shrine. Check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. But also, too, in that area, once again, you can check out Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar with delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and all kinds of good healthy stuff. And on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food for sale. If you want to give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Go check out Mama Nia in the Greenbrier Mall if you're in the area. At the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. That's a word to go in front of Medu. And that is, there's a word that goes after Medu. That's Netcher, the Medu Netcher, which is the writings of the gods. So check out. They have a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, T-shirts, all kind of good stuff for you at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located in Lithonia. My good brother and friend, Brother Kazimde Ajamu. He has a delicious coffee bar that he put into the Black Dot, serving my favorite African coffee, Cameroon Boyo, and other African coffees and teas and pastries and bean pie. That's right. He has books, figurines, T-shirts, the red, black, and green shoes. He has a lot of stuff for you there at the Black Dot. Remember, brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Also, too, Afroletics has a shop in the new Black Wall Street Market, the new Black Wall Street Market in Stonecrest, located right off the expressway off of I-220 in Stonecrest. It is a former Target store, and they're doing great work. Beautiful. My good brother, Sajafo. Saj is in there. He's got his jewelry and has got his artwork in there. There's a brother, Brother Mike McGee Jr., and he has his shop there, CBD, CBD helping, and all kind of good stuff there. So check out, if you're in the Atlanta area, go to the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. And so, but Afroletics got really cool stuff. They got the African theme sportswear, the Dogon, Starseed, the Omex, the Moors, the Zulus, the Rebels, the Herus. they're all kinds of cool stuff. So check them out. What is that one there? Okay. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative of our people. They had their Thursday night broadcast last night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. The Thursday night broadcast called Dare to Win. And every Thursday night from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can call to listen or call to ask a question or a comment or concern at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village Cultural Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. I talked to Brother Abijah, going to get him on the program at the end of the month. He told me about a situation that happened. A truck ran into, because it's, right there on this main street, and did some serious damage. So he's getting that together. So I'm sad to hear that. I hope it didn't damage too much. I mean, he has a lot of stuff. It's beautiful. A lot of stuff, furniture, clothing, help, beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, literature, books. That's right, jewelry. They even have a vegan store. Man. So the 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. And, of course, give Brother BJ a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. They're open from Tuesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. All right. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located in Jonesboro. 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, not in Jonesboro. Jonesboro Road, okay? Sun God Essentia, one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. And for more information, please give our good sister, Shelly Amundset, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essentia, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay Dash Haiti, our good sister Gabrielle, really has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti with our children, educational program, health care, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship. Check them out. Go to the website. Go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Akaban Institute, Baba Rudy and Mama Ya, educating our young warriors. And we need those individuals. We need these warriors, these independent thinkers, those brothers and sisters who will not flinch, who knows what responsibilities they have. They're educating them. And so they deserve support. Brothers and sisters, send a check or money order to Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But of course, you can use PayPal and Cash App. If you use Cash App, put in the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. And they have a presentation coming up the first Saturday in February. I'll be announcing that starting next week. Also, two brothers and sisters, if you want literature from Baba Rudy, go to AkabenHouse.com. AkabenHouse.com. He has a fine selection of books for your conscious raising efforts. That's right. That is Akaban Institute. In fact, one of those books that I often read from is the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. I'm going to read the January 12th and the 13th and the 14th and the 15th. Okay, because there's good information. In fact, the program today is on Ma'at. We're going to talk about Ma'at. That's right. January 12th. It is impossible for the African-centered or the Afrocentric community to begin practicing Ma'atian ethics when there are so many movement individuals involved in corruption. Much of their behavior is no different than that of an average unprincipled street person. This behavior by many movement individuals must be challenged because each of us and the movement itself is affected by this activity. The individual person and his actions are not separate and cut off from the collective. The collective and the individual exist in a reciprocal duality where one always eventually affects the other. Ashe. Professor Manu Apim. I met Brother Manu Apim, oh gosh, back in the 90s. He's out of the San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose area. And great presentation. And would love to talk with Brother Manu. I've seen him one time since that time. And many years ago again. So, Brother Manu Apim. There can be a major difference between proclaiming that everything in the universe is connected and acting accordingly. We are so used to believing that saying it is the same as being it, whether we are being it or not, that we forget that others, especially those looking for any excuse to exploit a contradiction among those who are supposed to be setting the standard in order to rationalize their own menticidal ways, are neither blind nor stupid. The aphorism that one lie destroys all previous truth is not without weight. For example, we cannot talk about honoring our compliments and building families at the same time that we are on the prowl to satisfy those individualistic, heathenistic, pleasure-driven, anti-family appetites that we refuse to relinquish. Those two mentalities are incompatible. Certainly, no one is perfect. However, there should be evidence of work toward improvement among those who aspire to be African. Ashe. Affirm, I practice Ma'atian ethics. Affirm, I practice Ma'atian ethics. January 13th. With just what is our purpose on this planet? If all we are to do is to become an extension, a clone, a reflection, or a helper of another man. My good friend and ancestor, Brother Taki S. Ratan, out of Chicago. Brother Taki Ratan. African warriors in Yoruba reality should expect their mental sight or own to try them, to try to disrespect them, clown them, and make fun of them, to bring meanness to their space for no reason other than the fact that they absolutely love our ancestors. They have no love for our ancestors. They have no love for Yeruk. Wait a minute, I'm just reading. Clown them for no reason other than the fact that they absolutely love our ancestors and have no love for Yoruba whatsoever. It is only natural for the wretched of Yoruba's reality to use their genius intimately in an effect to be recognized and prized as bullies in service to Yoruba. We should know the degree to which righteous, indefeatable warriors have always frightened Yoruba. We should be even more aware of the exaggerated, self-hating forms this reactive fear takes against those who love African people by the blindly ambitious among us who are desperately seeking an impossible validation by our most dedicated enemies. Because it flows downward from oppressive destroyers to those who identify with them. This behavior is called trickle-down disrespect. It is a ploy for the powerless to reflect Yoruba's hatred against all of them into only those among us who Yoruba holds the greatest hatred for. Nevertheless, although warriors should never tolerate disrespect in any form from anyone, they should neither be surprised nor daunted by the words or actions of their menticidal own against them. They know not what they do because, obviously, they are out of their African minds. Yes, sir. They are out of their African minds, I say. Affirm, I have removed my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional shackles and have no expectation of respect from those who mean me no good. Affirm, I have removed my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional shackles and have no expectation of respect from those who mean me no good. January 14th. Revolutions are never compromising. Revolutions are never based on negotiations. Revolutions are never based upon any kind of tokenism whatsoever. Ilhaj Malik El Shabazz, Brother Malcolm X, Brother Omar Wali. Some Africans believe they can establish a separate peaceful space within European-dominated territory. Let me read that again. Some Africans believe that they can establish a separate, peaceful space within European-dominated territory. They wrongly believe a deed or a treaty and their timely mortgage payment and tax payments will ensure that Europeans will allow them to exist in peace. They wrongly expect that Europeans will respect their earnest efforts as good, law-abiding citizens to purchase land so they can grow their own food, develop their own resources for themselves, and become more spiritually connected in peace with no possible threat of invasion. For some strange reason, they believe that the European has changed, blindly holding on to a hope in a non-existent morality they forgot or they forget what these people have done every time they wanted something that did not belong to them. They forget that a landed people unable to defend and keep their land is still a powerless people. Ashe. Affirm, I claim, the land I claim will not be taken. Affirm, the land I claim will not be taken. Why? Because it is African. January 15th. The enemy can never be driven out by words alone, no matter how sound the argument. Westerners and or people who think like them seek to gather information, but not in a random or open fashion as they would have us believe. Instead, they methodically shift through statements for these ideas that support their beliefs. For example, they do not attend forums, debates, or lectures about political, cultural issues to have their minds changed unless they were dissatisfied with their position beforehand. A broadened or contrary perspective is sought only when they have no other choice because they have become overpowered and have a need to pertain an inclusive multiculturalism, or because they realize that what they believe has completely failed them. But even then, they acquiesce only with the expectation that this new truth will eventually be brought in line with their unchanged agenda and to be credit to them as their original thinking. Debate is never for the sake of debate, except to distract their enemies. They attend public discussions in order to have what they already believe validated by experts. They attend to receive information that fits what they already know. Affirm, I engage in thought and action which produces concrete results. Affirm, I engage in thought and action which produces concrete results. The Inyesesim of daily revolutionary thought. The Inyesesim. It was good to read the ones that I hadn't read previously. Wednesday, and I really appreciate that, and I hope that some of you did too. I love the wisdom. Like I said, there's so many times that I have a topic, and then bam, there it is. The Inyesesim highlights it or brings more clarity to the topic that I'm going to be discussing. And of course, they talked about my Adian concepts with the piece of Manua Pim, and then of course Baba Baruti's narrative about the subject, and it's always good. You know, I was thinking, since Brother Bomani had contacted me that he couldn't be on because of some things that he had to do, and I was like, man, okay, that's cool. You know, this happened all the time, unfortunately. So I got to come up with something. You know, and I had a sweatshirt. I have a sweatshirt on. It was given to me by another ancestor, brother who brought me into ASCAC, a good friend. We started 100 Black Men in Milwaukee together. Brother Ron Pounds, good man. And this mob. T-shirt and sweatshirt that I have, as well as the Dr. King and Brother Omawali T-shirt I have. In fact, all of these are over 20 years old, and the screens on them look like yesterday. I kid you not. I wear them often. I wash them, of course, all the time. But they're good. I mean, even the Malcolm and Brother King, I know you've seen that. That is the only time these two men ever met. And that was in passing. I'm not sure if it was LaGuardia or Kennedy Airport in New York, one of them. The only time they ever met in passing. And so the photo was them smiling, looking in the camera together. And, of course, that's one thing that this society knew could not happen. These two men could not join forces. We cannot allow that to happen. No way. And then, of course, King was starting to do some things that, and we'll talk about Dr. King on Monday. Tomorrow is his birthday. Tomorrow is Dr. King's birthday, the 15th, but it's commemorated on the second Monday of January, something like that. Yeah. King holiday, the 3-day weekend that everybody has, and of course there's King programs, and you know, and all. I tell you, it's really ridiculous. In fact, I went to a King program at the King Center in Milwaukee many years ago, and the presenter was the county executive at the time, who eventually became the governor, Scott Walker. What an asshole! This cat, man, I walked out on him. It's just, I mean, who in the hell invited him, number one? Damn. But, I mean, you know, the people who embraced Dr. King wholeheartedly believed that we could use love and soul force to suppress their racism and their hatred of us. You know, we believe that we could appeal to their moral nature. They are amoral. You know, and so, yeah. Oh, also too, I just thought about it in that Dr. King and Malcolm piece. There is a play called The Meeting. In fact, it was on PBS many, many, many years ago with Denzel as Malcolm, and I can't remember the brother. Man, I can't remember his name, but I can see his face, who played Dr. King, you know. And I've seen the play a number of times presented once I was in Baltimore around that time and in Milwaukee, The Meeting, you know. And they talk about their children, they arm wrestle, and The Meeting they had met. But more importantly, what a force that would have been had they understand that we can join forces, and not that we espouse any religion, but that we espouse justice for our people and do it internationally, not just here in this country, but internationally, and hook up with others. That's the key. That's the key right there. Pan-Africanism. If you listen to this program, you know it's Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Brothers and sisters, there is. We need to be talking. Well, we want some solutions. Let's be solution-oriented. There's only one solution. That's it. Everything else is bullshit. Now you see how reactionary these people are, these Caucasians. It's sickening, isn't it? It's sad. And they can't have a damn voting rights bill. It's sickening. Just like when I saw Rance Priebus, who became the hell is that title that he had? Okay, it escapes me. But anyway, I saw him in Selma in 2015, in the anniversary, 50th anniversary of when we got that beat down in Selma for voting rights. And I saw him coming down the walkway where I was by the restaurant, and where there's a marker where when we marched down that hill, we were met, you know, by the sheriffs and all the other police on horses and given that beat down. That sister in the movie is played. She's played by Oprah Winfrey. And of course, Dr. King was there, but John Lewis got oopsed upside the head, you know. And so he's coming down, and I said his name because I was on the radio program. Of course, he don't remember me because I'll give less than a damn if he do, you know. He's chief of staff. He's chief of staff for Trump. And Rance Priebus, shocked him. He had three people. He had a Caucasian, young people, and a sister and a brother. And I just told him, I said, this is disingenuous of you to be here after what y'all just did in the Supreme Court to knock down some things in the voting for voting rights. It's always, y'all always been under voting suppression. Oh, man, I just lit into his ass. And all he did was smile. And the brother and the sister kind of hung their head. As my friend Johnny Miller. Me and him went to the march. Sometimes you just got to confront these crackers. Okay, Oshi. My aunt, let me get to my aunt. But like I said, I have this T-shirt. I mean the sweatshirt. And I got a T-shirt. And both of them, brothers, believe me, and sisters, all the lettering is still there. It's all legible. The principles of Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, reciprocity, all of them. Aunt's on it, the T-shirt and the sweatshirt, and the Dr. King and Brother Malik El-Shabazz T-shirt. Man. Anyway, Ma'at. The African philosophy. Ma'at. The African myths say that God has left letting humankind pursuing the duty of organizing society according to the laws of the universal, of the universe. In book Sangha Besan, from the book in Africa, and on page 145, the African myths say that God has left, letting humankind pursuing the duty of organizing society according to the laws of the universe, Ma'at. That's right. Ma'at is the way of thinking of the original Africans. Ma'at is a way of thinking. It's part of all the African nations under different names. With spreading of the Afrocentric movement, lots of people now know the word. But at the end, what is Ma'at, in fact? How must we approach it? What does it advocate? How is it implemented in daily life? We're going to enter the foundations of this African philosophy. You know, I said that we have all that we need. We have the seven principles of Ma'at. We have the seven principles of Kwanzaa. We have everything we need except our right minds. Everything we need. If we instill these principles of Ma'at into our everyday lives, where we are truthful, we are honest, we are just, we are righteous, we have harmony, we are balanced, we have order, we believe in reciprocity, that if I wrong you in some way, I don't have to go to no damn court. I know I've wronged you, and I want to make it right, because in the judgment of Ma'at and the 42 declarations of innocence of Ma'at, I cannot have those declarations said whereby I can go on and be in the afterlife, because no, I've wronged you and I lied. And I'll now be eaten by the beast of unjust souls. So if I wrong you, I want to make amends. I want to do reparations because it is just. That's what ruled a society. You didn't need no. That's what ruled a society. That's why ancient Kemet lasts over 5,000 years. That's why it was a model. But there were others that preceded it. It just didn't spring up magically. Ma'at, with her feather, that one feather on her head, our ancestors have established that the African way of thinking is better represented by a woman. Ashe. Yes, the woman. See, that's the other thing. We understood the complementarity, the balance, the necessary of men and women, the energy of women, the energy, the masculine energy of men, the feminine energy of women. We understood this. This article is a complement of our writings on the African spirituality, as well as on the 42 principles of Ma'at by the ancient Kemites. Ankh Life. Born 300,000 years ago in the region of the Great Lakes, our ancestors had realized that they were part of a complex ranked environment. The world around them, so sophisticated and ordered, had one and only purpose: to maintain life. The world around them had only one and only purpose, was to maintain and sustain life. The rise of the sun every day after the night, the cycles of rain which regularly came after the dry season, the plants that grew continuously, the animals and mankind which reproduced themselves, etc. accordingly. All this immutable mechanisms activated by an energy contributes to the unique purpose to spread and preserve life. This very beautiful world, so complex, so organized, couldn't be other than the fruit of a relaxation, the will of a spirit consciousness that has never spoken to them. They have called this first spirit Amani, Aman, which means the hidden. They know it is there, the hidden. They sense it, they feel it. It guides them, it motivates, inspires them. To our ancestors, the hidden spirit had them decided to engender the world in the beginning for one and only purpose to create and to preserve life. The Ankh. The Ankh. To create and preserve life. We know the Ankh, the symbol of life. Thousands of years older than the cross. The top circle part represents the womb of the woman. The cross represents the coming together to produce life. The shaft represents the penis of the man. It all comes together to produce life, the African symbol of life. Endowed with a higher degree of consciousness, among other things, and with the highest capacity of creation amongst the living creatures, humans are thus the agents of God on earth, generators of his or her mission, and must assist God in the task to preserve life. Humans, us, the thinking creatures that we are thus the agents of God on earth, generators of his or her mission. We must assist God in the task to continue to preserve life. That's right. That's why we are here. If humans have been brought to the world by Amana to perpetuate life like him or her, then they must follow the laws of God to do so. But how can we know that the laws, if God doesn't speak? Actually, he or she speaks. This speaking is creation. This speaking is creation. I went too far, okay. The whole universe, everything that exists, sky, earth, water, minerals, vegetables, mankind, represents the word of God. It is therefore necessary to study the universe and decipher its functioning codes. It is necessary to know how the first ancestors created life, to know how to live and preserve life. This is why in Kemetic, priests told the Greeks, servant, Solon, as for the intellectual life, you can undoubtedly see how the law pays attention to it in our country from the first principles related to the universe. It has organized all the discoveries from the divine speculations. It has drawn the human applications, ensured the acquiescence of all other knowledge which comes afterwards. These words of this ancient African man mean that first of all, it has been necessary to study and understand the creation of the universe. And from the codes of that creation, they have drawn the discoveries as well as the laws implemented in the daily life of humans. To understand the word of God, the universe, the Africans had to observe and use science, mathematics, astronomy, physics, biology. Brothers and sisters, once again, please, please go to YouTube. Go to YouTube on your computer. Put in the search, Great Pyramid K 2019, and watch it. Even though it's 3.5 hours, dear brothers and sisters, please watch it. Then you will know who we are. Who built the pyramids? Africans. Melanated Africans. And you will know how they did it. You will know why these huge statues and why they look the way, how perfect they look. You will know why there's other pottery that was discovered of different types of stone that was shaped into vases and so forth. You will know. Because of who we are. We created mathematics, pi, the royal number, the qubit. It is us. And we brought it with us wherever we went. And we did go around the world. This explains the reason why the Rhine Papyrus, a famous Kemetic mathematic treaty written
by the ancestor Yah Mesu, was named by our forefathers. Accurate method of investigation into nature in order to know everything that exists, every mystery, all secrets, mathematics, and other natural sciences enables thus to uncover all the secrets of the universe. It is to say, to discover the word of God. This is the reason why Africans invented them. Ma'at against Isfet. On the completion of their scientific investigations and speculations, our ancestors concluded the following. Water forgoes life. All life is born of water. That's why they believe they found water on Mars. So if there's water on Mars, they believe there's life on Mars. The only planet in our solar system besides us that is possible. You know? Can't be Venus. Venus is a big gas ball. Mercury's too close. No? So it's Mars. Hence, in the beginning was the primordial water of Nun that disorderly contained different nuclei or particles. These germs were to transform into life. One of these germs, Imana, awoke and got self-aware. Imana decided to create by bonding the particles of Nun to bring beings to life. The whole universe is organized in accordance with the spiral model. We can notice it on the DNA, the small elements, the fundamental elements of all beings, which is an organization of particles in the spiral form to the biggest, the galaxy, which also has a spiral form. Therefore, Imana has made, with his or her energy, a spiral movement to assemble these particles and give them life as beings. The whole creation, all the elements of the universe, the DNA to the infinity being the galaxy, all these organized in a spiral form. In order to create life, the first spirit then had to defeat the disorder inside Nun by assembling an organized and well-rounded way all the scattered germs, all that is in the spiral movement, to bring them all together and to function in accordance. Imana replaced the original disorder by the order and harmony. Replaced the original disorder, the scatteredness, to bring them into harmony. She then replaced the evil, Isfet, by the good, Ma'at. Let me repeat. He then replaced the evil, Isfet, the disorder, disharmony, by the good, Ma'at. Life appeared because the first ancestor did well and defeated the evil. Ma'at is therefore the set of laws which the Creator brought out of life and the order that rules the universe. Hence, to preserve life, humans must make Ma'at prevail on Isfet, like the Creator did. We must defeat Isfet, this order that we see going on today. As long as humans do what is good, there will be life. As long as they practice order, there will be life. As long as they practice harmony, there will be life. As long as they do what is fair, there will be life. As long as they practice equality, equity, there will be life. As long as they say what is true, there will be life, etc. As you can see, and I ain't got to tell you what rules the world today. It ain't that. It ain't Ma'at. In Kemet, our authentic African, or the Vitalis Aminis, original culture and spirituality, is therefore he who submits himself to the authority of the laws of creation and to the order of the universe, Ma'at, and who organizes his existence in accordance with these laws to preserve life, the kinetic fits into the universe, living in accordance with its laws. As above, so below. This sentence said throughout authentic Africa means that the human society below has been organized according to the laws above, the universal order. Above the world, the universal order. Ma'at within the family. Ma'at within the family. Human beings as individuals are like scattered particles in none and are consequently vectors of disorder. They must therefore be assembled in an organized and well-rounded way within the family. This is why the individual does not exist in Africa. This is why the individual does not exist in Africa. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire. But Africans, collectivism, communal, is an imperative, is a must. Individualism does not exist in Africa. The individual can only be seen as part of a family and a community. That is the reason why in the African tradition, people care so much about living together. They care about living together. This way, in certain ethnic groups, these organized dancing, aligning the people of the community in a spiritual in order to highlight their unity. They come together. It's time to take a break. We're going to do that. And I'll come back and then talk more about Ma'at and the importance of Ma'at and how to instill Ma'at into our lives. It's very easy to do, brothers and sisters. Just live it. Just be the best man, the best woman. Be righteous. Be honest. Have commitment. Never do anything to wrong anyone, especially us. And as it says in Effect, if you got to deal with Effect and you got to kick their ass, you kick their ass. You know? But basically, we got to deal with righteousness. That's Ma'at. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us, okay?
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Black is for the far black man. Black is for the beautiful faith of a far and beautiful race.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Roy Ayers, Red, Black, and Green, 2000s, got to be 1972. Not 30 years away, 50 years ago. 50 years ago, man. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kambon and Nataki Kambon from 8 to 9. And from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays. Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. And then Sunday from 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're talking today about Ma'at, the winged god. In fact, many people say that's where the concept of angels came from. Ma'at, with a feather in her hair, her head of justice, there's weighed of justice, truth, or harmony, reciprocity, order, balance. The principal laws. Ma'at in the constitution of the state. The king is Heru, son of God. He implements Ma'at, which rules the country, has a high Vitalis, the priest, the king possesses secret knowledge about the invisible world that enables him to ensure the continuity of life as well as the people's material prosperity. The culture maintained has political autonomy, their languages, and are organized in their diversity by the king. He puts them together with order and harmony within a federal system. Heru puts the different cultures together or different castes, the same way God has assembled the different particles. The African model is subsequently federal. This is what Sheikh Anjajab was talking about. This is what all the African brothers did. A federal system on the continent of Africa, getting rid of all the other superficial, petty differences to become one. That is, understand, that is Pan-Africanism. That is the only solution for African people. Unless there's another miracle. Ma'at within the judicial system. In African justice is mainly restorative. African justice is not punitive. When one does any harm to somebody, it disrupts the victim's harmony and brings conflict into the community. So the purpose of justice is to restore harmony. Ma'at within everyone's heart. As related by the Belgian missionary Plekisai Templates, who had visited the Democratic Republic of the Congo during the colonization period, a man had entrusted his lamb with another man. The other man's dog devoured that lamb. The man who had kept the lamb had to give to the other three lambs in 100 francs for reparations. All of this without the intervention of a traditional court. This was what the beneficiary demanded to restore his harmony and his joy. Black added that in a general, the culprit would accept to pay reparations without complaining. The purpose of justice is thus to restore Ma'at. The Cameroonian Africologist Mbogue Baisong also stated that the spirit of the African law does not focus on punishment, but instead it focuses on the social balance, the fairness, and the rehabilitation of culprits within a society. Ma'at within ecology. Humans must protect the order of nature.
ma'at, not possessing it. They must ensure the continuity of the living species in order to carry out the Creator's plan. By doing so, they use plants and animals in a rational and green-friendly way. If they are the main spirits on the earth, they must respect the plants, the animals, the water. They must respect that. That must be respected. The animals, the water, the air, which are also endowed with conscience. Therefore, they cannot pollute the water nor the air. This way, very often before cutting a tree or killing an animal, Africans made it understood that the act was necessary. Ma'at, within music. Africans had considered that the creative spiritual had made a huge noise as it was spreading within none in order to assemble the particles. The first noise is considered as a creative verb, which has created the world with order and harmony. In addition, the creation occurs in rhythmic ways and is days and is in seasons which repeat themselves on a regular basis. Hence, the singing means reproducing the creative verb. Singing orderly, harmoniously, with rhythm, like Africans do, is to reproduce the order of the universe, ma'at. Dancing the same way is to reproduce the movements of the whole creation. Thereby, singing and dancing are put together during the creation of ma'at. The creation, ma'at, and the invention of writing. The creation having been made by the verb, all that exists before the word of God, each element vibrating because of the energy given by the Creator in the beginning, then each element can be vocalized. This is how the Africans between Sudan and Egypt invented writing 5,500 years ago. The first writing in history, which gave birth to almost all writing systems in the world, including Latin script, with which we write today. The Medu Netcher, the writing of the gods. I know what I'm talking about, symbolism, it's power writing. In order of all the other writings of Ethiopia, of Cameroon, Nigeria, Kenya, Sierra Leone, ma'at within architecture. In the villages around huts used the form of the primordial egg. Imana awoke inside none in the form of an egg. The Ashanti architecture, current in Ghana. Images of a building photographed at the end of the war against English invaders. We see the spiral on the walls for the Ashanti people, and the spiral represents the birth and the creation in the Hausa people in Nigeria and so forth. But the building that reflects the most divine order is the Great Pyramid. Once again, brothers and sisters, go to YouTube, put in the search Great Pyramid K 2019. Please watch this documentary. The Great Pyramid, which is the most advanced, complex, and perfect monument human beings have ever built, reproduces the circumference of the earth at the equator level, the distance from the earth center to the poles, the speed of light, the speed of rotation of the earth on its and the rotation of the earth on its axis, in a spiral golden number. It shows the equinox as well as the lion constellation. Once again, the documentary will show you who built them and how they were built. Being materially rich, living comfortably, is absolutely not disapproved by Ma'at. Material comfort provides a solitary development and harmony. Pharaonic Kemet has thus been the world's richest state at the time. The Empire of Mali which had essentially Vitalis' foundations, was also the richest state in the world. As stated by Dr. Sheikh Anjir Jop, before the apocalypse of the European captive trade, Africa was a continent with an extraordinary, legendary wealth. But an individual who acquires material wealth must share it with other people and must never use it to exploit and harm others. On the other hand, excessive wealth engenders envy, corruption, and disarray. We can't have that to have Ma'at. In the ancient Africa, when an individual was growing excessively wealthy or rich, the authorities would tax, would take the excess of his wealth in order to avoid a potential disarray. This wealth was invested for the people whose life standard would increase consequently. Hence, the individual would lose material wealth, but would earn a social standing, for everybody would see him or her as someone who provides good, harmony, and equity. Therefore, material wealth is good only if it enables to practice Ma'at. I went too far. I'm sorry. There we go. The reader, Ma'at, naive pacifism. The reader who has followed us until now recognizes the pacific logic of the African philosophy, the pacifism. Nevertheless, does Ma'at advocate to love the enemy and to turn the other cheek when he is slapped, he or she is slapped? Absolutely not. Let's not forget that to preserve life, it is necessary to practice life, to practice Ma'at, but also to defeat Isfet, just like the Creator did in the beginning. Ma'at is a principle that we must defend and protect. Isfet, the evil, disarray, unfairness, inequality, conflict, and lying must be fought. When the Ifetism, servants of Ifet, are identified and cannot be brought back to the right path, they must be annihilated with violence if necessary to restore order. It is permitted to use disorder to destroy disorder. It is allowed to make war in the name of Ma'at. You might need to do that. They show Kandi, the Empress of Sudan and the greatest African woman in history. She uses violence to fight forces who wanted to invade her country. Maintain. Conclusion. At the time when Africa has completely lost its benchmark after centuries of European and Arab occupation, and an African that suffers under neocolonialism and its failing heads of state, where a few have all and the majority have nothing, where colonialism and conflicts keep, neocolonialism and conflicts keep on destroying the population, Ma'at offers clear solutions. Yes, Ma'at offers clear solutions. The African thought is still modern and responds to the challenges of the continent today. We will never say enough that the solutions to the problems of Africans are in Africa. We can never say it enough that the solutions to the problems of Africa are in Africa. Africa must also understand that as the elder children of God and the civilizing people of all humanity, they have a mission to fulfill and a role to play on the global scene. Preserve life. That is the mission. It is at least a very beautiful and noble idea. Preserve life. That is the mission. Ashe, Hotep, Ma'at, that's what's necessary, Ma'at. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, you know, if we put that into our everyday lives, put the principles of Ma'at into our everyday lives, just like the principles of Kwanzaa into our everyday lives, imagine
how we can fundamentally turn around all this madness, all these superstitions, all of this foolishness. You can maintain your theology. It's a way of life. It's not. You can still believe in Christianity and Islam and Buddhism and Shintoism and whatever else you want to believe, a Christian denomination, whatever else, a Muslim denomination, whatever. But as far as the continent is concerned, let Ma'at rule. Isn't it a beautiful thing that I know I've done wrong? I ain't going to try to weasel out of it and lie about it. We got to go to court and I got a better lawyer than you got and I'm going to get out of it. But I did you wrong. Because there's so many people that have no conscience, could give less than a rat's ass. But with Ma'at, you know, just like I'm going to go through the 42 declarations of innocence of Ma'at and the scene where you are brought in and your heart is going to be weighed by the feather of Ma'at. In order to understand what we all say here, it is important for any of us to get on the journey of death as Africans think it. Ma'at, the daughter of God, she represents the truth and justice with her feather on her head. Ma'at represents the entire law that ruled the life of ancient Kemet. After they studied and discovered the existence of God, our ancestors concluded that the aim of the existence was the preservation and the perpetuation of life. What was it? The preservation and the perpetuation of life. Everything that the ancient Kemetic people did, and believe me, there were those before them. There are more pyramids in the Sudan than there are in Kemet. And they're older. They were before them. They came from the south. They followed the direction of the Nile. The Nile flows from south to north. The greatest pyramids are built at the end of the Nile River in Kemet, the great pyramids of Khufu, Khafre, and Menkaure, and other small pyramids and mastabas. They understood that what they were doing was building for eternity, building for life. They were not hung up on sex, they were hung up on life. Ma'at represents the entire law that ruled life of the ancient Kemetic people. After they studied and discovered the existence of God, our ancestors concluded that the aim of the existence was the preservation and perpetuation of life. They voiced a set of laws responsible for the application of this philosophy and to guarantee order and harmony within the society, as God had done when, by the disorder of the primordial waters, she made the creation tidy and harmonious. Every human being has a duty, like God at the beginning, to put order instead of disorder, the good instead of evil, the truth instead of a lie, justice instead of injustice, etc. It is the conception of the continuation of life through truth and justice that Ma'at contains. The opposite of Ma'at is Fet. Is Fet and its adaptions must absolutely be defeated with violent methods if it is necessary as a last resort. It is this conception of the perpetual practice of good that explains why we Africans, without having been absolutely perfect, were one of the most virtuous people of the world in ancient times. Our societies were not based on slavery. There were no genocides before the foreign influences, particularly no famines, no homeless people. There was a strong solidarity. There was very little bloodshedding during wars. The kings ruled for the good of their people. And there was hospitality shown
towards foreigners. Remember, as Dr. Shinkajab said, we had a xenophilia. We had no fear of strangers, where the Europeans had a xenophobia. We welcome people. The historian and geographer Louis Marie Jopmans speaks about the ancient African society as being surprisingly human. Ma'at can be found in the entire authentic Africa under several names, according to the Cameroonian scholar Bisbeck. It is told, I can't read the African words, but from all the cultures of Madagascar, the Congo, Benin, Cameroon, Guinea-Bissau, Rwanda, Burundi, Coptic Kemet, South Sudan, all of them, there's a word for Ma'at. The Mandinka of West Africa. Every African must dedicate his life to Ma'at. By the time of the demise of one must prove that he has applied Ma'at. To do so, the defunct face their last judgment. When one passes away, the body perishes. The indestructible energy becomes eternal life. And the spirit soul, which is accounted of the acts one has committed, must be judged by Aser. Aser chairs the court of the last judgment in the room of the two Ma'ats, accompanied by his wife's sister, Aset, and her sister, as the first beings to have known the full cycle of existence, life, death, justification, resurrection. Aser is able to determine who must obey the divine laws. Here's the judgment scene where you are entered into the hall by Ampu and the Netcher Jehudi, who the Greeks called Toth, who is the god of articulation and speech, who will write down. And Ampu also does the weighing, the feather of Ma'at against your heart. And you speak these 42 declarations, I have not, I have not, I have not. If it's proven that you have not, what you're saying you have not, but you have, then your heart becomes heavier than the feather. Heru, the son of Aser and Aset, introduces the dead in the room of the two Ma'ats. Ampu places his heart, or the Ba, meaning the Kaaba. The Kaaba is also, of course, in Islam, the Kaaba. The soul resides on the scale. The heart must be lighter than the feather. And the 42 commandments, or the 42 declarations of innocence, or some have said the 42 negative confessions, I say the 42 declarations of innocence, must have been applied. If the issue of judgment is positive, the dead will be justified by Aser, and his soul will be transferred to a newborn. Resurrection, reincarnation. The living will meet God through his eternal energy. This way he becomes a deserving ancestor. On the contrary, a moot, which is the beast of unjust souls, which is a composite of a crocodile head, a lion, hippopotamus, divinity, will devour the heart that will serve as food for the 42 gods of the Ma'at, the beast of unjust souls. The front of Aser and his sisters, the dead must pronounce the following words. Hail, O great God, master of the two Ma'ats. I know you and I know your name. I know the name of the 42 gods who live off the sins they bear and drink their blood. The day of valuation of the qualities in front of Aser. And so it goes on and goes on, and you get the 42 declarations of innocence. I have not, I did not deprive the livestock of his pastures. I did not fish fishes from the lagoons. And, you know, I have not. And then you go through this. And then, of course, your heart stays balanced. So greetings to all of you present in the room of Ma'at. You who are exempt from lies, here I am for you. Without sins, without offenses, without baseness, without any accusers, without anyone against who I have raged. I did what the good gods speak of, what they delight at. I satisfied the gods through what he loves. I gave bread to the starving, water to the thirsty, clothes to the ones who were naked, a boat to one who did not have any. Now save me, protect me. Don't make report against me in front of the great one, the great Al-Sayer. My mouth is pure. My hands are pure. And that's how it ends. You go on to live. You stand on the right side of God. You go on. And you know, I like to say that, yes, many people can talk about all kinds of spiritual things. To me, what is best in all of these theologies and all of these practices is what is good for the human and what is good for the human family. Because we need what is good for the human family. You see, we don't have that. You see the greed in the world. You see how the earth is rebelling because of climate change, because these folks could have done something years and years ago to change this dynamic. As I mentioned before many times, even when I had a program on climate change back when I first started broadcasting, I read an article while I'm at the firehouse way back in the 80s, or close to the 90s, in the 80s. It was called global warming at that time. And many people thought, well, it was global warming. It's so cold out. How could be global warming? There's no such thing. No, damn it. The understanding is weather extremes at odd times and for durations, just more severe hurricanes, more severe tornadoes, more severe heat and drought, more severe cold and freezing temperatures. That's what climate change is. And that's what is happening now. That's what's been happening for this last almost decade. And that's what you'll see if nothing is done. And believe me, it doesn't look like nothing's being done. But you're going to see in the future. They done messed up the damn ecology of the planet. There is no harmony. There is no ma'at. There is no balance. Greed. Selfishness. You have a group of people who have so much. Remember what I read that piece in Ma'at? Envy, jealousy, mean-spiritedness, even amongst them, let alone for those who have nothing. You can join this conversation. Hit star twice. We have a few minutes. Hit star twice and join the conversation or dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We live in a mean world. And as a consequence, the selfishness and greediness is just played out through families. Murder. Killing family members for insurance policies and money. I remember it happened here almost where these two brothers were going to shoot and kill their mother and father and burn the house down. Because they ain't dying quick enough. I need this money now. I'm supposed to inherit $150,000, $200,000
on a policy, and then all the other stuff. These mugs ain't dying quick enough. I got to do something now. Man.
In this country,
that's why I hate this country. Yeah, I said it. I hate it for its hypocrisy, for what it has done to us and continues to do to us. For what it has done to the world, the destabilization of many countries to this day. America is the military arm of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. America is the military arm of it. It is global. This is a global phenomenon, and it has consequences. It has established consequences around the world. And the only thing that can challenge this evilness is us, Africans, coming to their right mind, getting their land back, controlling their resources, being a model and example for other countries. And it's the only. Otherwise, who knows how bad. And you know, I don't know about you. I don't play video games, but a lot of these video games, the utopia societies they have were just all doom and gloom, just like the movies where, you know, the societies like the Mad Max movies of 20-some years ago giving you a glimpse of a future world that is just so deeply chaotic.
Brother Oshie.
Yes. How you doing, my brother?
Peace and blessings, brother.
You too, Brother Lux. How are you, man? How you been?
I'm doing fine, and thank you so very much for your reading of the Ma'at and the reminder of all of the components thereof. And that last statement had me thinking a little bit, because sometimes I wonder, particularly us as melanated people, do we understand the finality of life at all? Do we know what it means when things come to an end? And especially with regards to our young brothers and sisters who utilize these weapons of destruction, sometimes I wonder, do they think that it'll happen today and then tomorrow it's like it's all over, it's a reset button that has been hit and then it all goes back, right? And so I just kind of wonder, as do we really understand what it means to come to an end of cessation of life at all? So that's the thought that I had. And thank you so very much for that reading.
Oh, you're welcome, Brother Lusk. I really appreciate it, man. I always, of course, appreciate you calling and the emails you send me all the time, my brother. Like I said, we hopefully did get through this pandemic, and then hopefully I get to Montgomery and me and you can break bread, and that's for damn sure. Okay.
Sure.
But what you're saying is that because life has been so devalued, that's why, you know, these young men behave the way they do. And of course, the availability of guns so readily available. My good friend, Brother Muhammad, who was on last Friday, we were pretty much talking about this. We were talking about the young sister who was killed at a fast food restaurant because she was being robbed through the drive through. And unfortunately, the one who really killed her was a coworker who had a gun, you know, and I guess trying to stop the theft or the robbery, shot her, killed her. You know, because, you know, I know he felt bad about that. And I'm quite sure because from based upon what Brother Muhammad told me, that young man who was working there wasn't supposed to have a gun. He was a felon, I believe. But anyway, you know, when you talk about that, there is throughout the world no respect for human life. And what Ma'at was about was the ultimate respect for life. And not just human life, but the life of the planet. Life for animals. Life for the land. For life in itself.
That's what Ma'at was all about. And that harmony and balance and truth and justice and righteousness and reciprocity, all those principles of Ma'at, which maintained the society and kept it going. There wasn't, I mean, you know, African societies were not built and became great, and they were for hundreds and thousands of years, not because of exploitation, not because of enslavement, because of the righteousness of the people and the righteousness of the leadership, the example that they provided, and to make sure that everybody, you know, nobody starved. There was bread for everybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody went thirsty. There was water for everybody. The person who did menial work was just as important as the king or the pharaoh or whatever, or the military people who or whatever. There was that harmony. There was that balance. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like we relegated women to a subservient position. No, women were right beside men. There was a complementarity. There was that harmony and that balance. In fact, there were women who basically ran some things because of their ability and their mindset and their temperament was better than men. You know? So no, they don't. Not in today's society, because in today's society the rule, the predominant rule is European. And European rule is I think, therefore I am. Not the African phrase, uh-huh. I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. They don't have that. They don't have the Ubuntu, the collectivism. No, you know, their whole thing is, I got to get mine and I got to get it now. In fact, you know, their whole thing is the hegemony. What's mine is mine and what's yours is mine, you know. And so these kinds of mindsets have, as you see, has brought the world on the brink of total chaos. Because if these calamities that are just striking the earth, I just saw the thing on the national news the other day, the amount of cost that climate change has done to this country, not just to the world, because it is affecting the world, but to this country alone is hundreds of billions of dollars, if not almost $1 trillion, because of the fires, because of the tornadoes, because of the hurricanes, because of the extreme cold that has happened, and of course, not to mention the death toll. So, you know, they had a chance, as I mentioned all the time, when I'm sitting down reading that article, this was like about now, about 30, 40 years ago, maybe longer. And they could have done something then. When Jimmy Carter was president, he had solar panels on the White House. The first thing Ronald Reagan did when he came in is he took him down and struck deals with his guys. In fact, I maintain that Ronald Reagan was one of the worst presidents. But, of course, to the Caucasian, he was the greatest president. But because of the divisions between have and have-nots. Previously, when Ronald Reagan was president, the amount of money between the CEO and the layers of other people all the way down to the workers was not that big. Today is astronomical. The economic situation, the economic inequality between those who have and have not was not that big. And for us, particularly American Africans, this is ridiculous. It has been said, Brother Lusk, that it would take over 200 some years that Caucasians' wages would be frozen and we would get a raise incrementally. It would take 200 some years that we would have economic equality. I mean, when you're talking about the Caucasian has $110,000 to our $10,000 in wealth, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So, you know, I don't see any hope for us here. I don't see any hope for us here. This is an ongoing struggle, an ongoing battle, and it will never be dealt with because the people who we are trying to appeal to morally are amoral. They could give less than a rat's ass. They want to maintain the position of control, as you can see in your legislature. You see what they're doing. How can you not talk about, well, let's find a way that we can make sure that elections are fair. Damn what we're trying to do to suppress this, because the Republicans are small in number and they don't have a good ass plan. They're not inclusive. They try to make sure that those who have maintain what they have. They're trying to do what I'm saying here. They don't practice the laws of Ma'at. No, they don't. They practice laws right. of the effect of greed and chaos and corruption. And they want to maintain that. So, you know, no, you're right, Brother Lus. They don't. They don't understand. And they will not understand. You know, and what the future holds, who knows? I don't see it. You know, even if we get a chance to go home and do something substantive, a building and so forth, I think that the climate of the world is so messed up. You know, maybe like Baldwin said, it's the fire next time. You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But see, maintain, Brother Lusk, Ted, is that we continue to be the men that we are. We continue to be the men that we are, man. That we continue to love each other, love our families, love our community, try to strive to do the best that we can. Because
definitely.
You know, when that day comes, who knows? You know, if one just say there is no theology in that, you just die, then so what, I just die. But I know, and you know, Brother Lusk, that you did all that you could to help somebody. You did all that you could to raise our people up and to be a model and example. You did all that you could to help children and elderly. You did all that you could, you know? And that's the bottom line, brother. Yep. So.
Very good, sir. Very good.
Always, my friend. Always.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Have a good weekend, man. I can't wait to meet you down in Montgomery day soon,
same
man.
Same here.
All right.
And
brother.
You and well as others, you know, it's empowering, almost therapeutic, I'm sure. For me, especially to link into this kind and type of conversation with other brothers and sisters around the country.
Yes,
man, you just sometimes I know I say it, and almost sounds like childlike. I wish that either I was closer to you all, or you all were closer to me. And so we can have those kinds and types of in person. Real-time conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
man, I would love to have Brother Paul in the UK over here, you know.
Definitely. And I have not, like I said, I haven't forgotten about Franklin Jones and brothers who I've heard.
Right on.
Of Brother Watkins before. And
yeah, Alfonso Watkins, that's right.
Yeah.
We have brought some good people with good conscience, good heart. I love our people on these programs, on Dr. Rogers' program.
The two brothers out of Philadelphia, the originators, I guess.
Brother Elliot. Brother Elliot and Brother Richard.
Elliot and Brother Richard, that's right.
Time for an awakening.
To listen to them sometimes. I used to hear them before, and they brought some very stimulating conversations, especially one that stands out with regards to blacks and guns. That still stands out with me, the conversation that they had with, I forget who it was on the programming, though, but it did lead me to do some reading for myself, right?
Yeah.
And that was very interesting.
Well, right on, my brother. That's why we're here, man. We're trying to put something on our minds. We're all trying to work this thing out together, brother.
Sir.
You have a blessed weekend, Brother Lusk. Thank you so much.
You too. Peace.
All right. Yeah, Brother Lusk out of Montgomery, Alabama. Brother Muhammad, you there?
Yes, Oshi.
Oh, my good friend. How you doing, man? Assalamu alaikum.
Well, salam, man. Just was listening and just came into the house. I was listening to you in the car on my way to Calvin Mallory's.
Oh, yes, right. Calvin. Oh, yeah. Did you say some words?
No. It's at 1 o'clock.
It's at 1 o'clock. Okay. It's almost 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Yeah. It's almost.
But
it's almost 12.
I did have a chance to stop in for the breakfast. With the brothers.
Oh, you did
back in the day.
Oh, man, right on. Was it on Brown Deer again?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Oh man, great! I can't wait to see the pictures, man. I can't wait to see you. Yeah. How many were there?
They didn't take no pictures while I was there.
Okay. How many were there? Do you say?
Gerard Fisher was there. I saw him.
Gerard, man, right on. Yeah, I saw him when he got his award for being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, yeah. That was beautiful. How many people were there, would you say?
I would say there was about 40 brothers there this morning.
Oh, beautiful. That's beautiful, man.
Yeah, I saw a brother I haven't seen. We lived across from each other in Hillside Housing Project, a brother named Roy Cobb. I hadn't seen Roy Cobb, man, in probably 30 years.
I know, man. That's the beauty of that, man. That's the beauty of that. Well, okay, Brother Muhammad. I'm going to talk to you later, man.
Okay, brother. All right. Look forward to it.
All right. Peace.
All right.
Alaykum as-salam. 404-697. 404-697.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sister. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Doing
all right, good.
And I too really enjoyed the program. It was so great to hear about Ma'at.
Yes.
And all the principles and expounding it. So, you know, that's real important for us.
Yes, it is.
And so I just wanted to say I say to that. And you know, we were talking about the hypocrisy of this country. You're talking about Ronald Reagan and et cetera,
yeah.
All his, you know, catastrophes. And that the sister attorney Marilyn Moseley, I wanted to raise her. You know, raise her name up high and support for her too,
sister. You know, the one in Baltimore.
Baltimore.
In Baltimore, yes,
yeah,
yeah.
And they set her up, sabotaged her. She has her own money in her own 401k, and they're going to say she's stealing this, and it's just a setup, and it's just about like a lynching right here.
Oh wow!
And you know, African people have to stand up for her, stand up straight for her. You know,
I hope so. I hope they do that in Baltimore. I hope that family comes together to support that sister.
For the sister, because she's a freedom fighter. She's fighting for Freddie Gray,
right? Fox, right.
Police, mm-hmm. And so they're trying to just come back and sabotage her and set her up, and you know, on a frivolous claim.
Yeah.
You know, her own money, and they said she should be. They're indicting her for her own 401k. Her own.
I tell
money.
You, these some evil people, baby. As you know, Sister Hadija, these some evil ass people. I swear.
And revengeful. They're trying to go after her. She's a freedom fighter. She's a very good sister.
Yes, she is.
You know, fighting for the people. And so,
yes,
you know,
is.
We just got to, you know, call it out and support her as much as we can. But,
well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Definitely not following my eyes.
Yep, that's right. All right, my sister. All right. Peace to you, dear. Have a blessed weekend.
Okay, blessed weekend for you.
All right. Peace. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family. See you on Monday.